For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Pittsburgh, make some noise!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Los Angeles Rams select Ty Simpson.
Okay, wow.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Actor Phil Dunster. NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show back in Los Angeles, California, after a fun residency in the NFL draft town of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And I have to think you have an opinion on what happened with your team at the NFL draft. And we are here for you.
Let's go.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Daniel Jeremiah is joining us in less than 20 minutes' time to break it all down. Greg Olson of Fox Sports is going to join us in hour number three to break it all down. And then we'll have right in the middle of the program a nice little draft intermezzo.
Oh,
little palate cleanser. The very funny and highly popular HBO show Rooster. Phil Dunster, who's on it, you may also know him as Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso. He's in studio in hour number two. It's going to be a lot of fun, but 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. How are you, Christopher Brockman? What's
I'm
going
great.
On?
How are you, Rich?
What's up, DJ Mikey
hey,
D? Is it D's Nuts? Good to
well,
see you back here.
Welcome back.
TJ Jefferson, an actual candle is lit this time around, not some sort of electronic thingy.
Now, this is the real deal, and I got to be honest, last week was very surreal for me to be back
I
in
bet.
Pittsburgh, and it was really cool.
Man. Hanging with old friends, the governor, new friends. You know what I mean?
I could have told a story on every street that we went down, but I didn't want to annoy these guys.
You didn't annoy anybody. It was great to be there, and it was awesome. And, I would like to start with the Steel City. It was incredible. Over 800,000 people, the commissioner made that announcement. Amidst the raindrops on Saturday, it got particularly inclement, got cold. Fans still flocked to the makeshift draft area right next to Acrisure Stadium, right near the confluence. It was just an incredible time. Everyone was rolling the carpet out for all of us. And the Steelers fans all over the place, they were booing the heck out of the Ravens fans. But I was meeting fans who were dressed in Ravens colors, and nobody, you know, bothered them particularly. It was a significant, fun, good time. And the Steelers then backed it up. You take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers draft, and they did a very nice job. I understand the whole Mekhi Lemon thing got people all, you know, in kerfuffle that they were doing the wrong thing, or Howie Roseman beat him to the punch, and all of that good stuff. But they still wound up, as Mike McCarthy told us when he appeared on our Friday program, with a tackle that they need. Broderick Jones has got a neck injury, folks, and there is something serious going on with him potentially, and you need to have somebody play that position who could – but listen, this is what you use the draft. So they used a first-round pick on Maxi Honichor out of Arizona State, and then in round two – they got a wide receiver out of Alabama, Jeremy Bernard, who is terrific. And he is now going to be added to the mix with DK Metcalf and Pittman, Rico Dowdle in the backfield with Jalen Warren, an offensive line that hopefully will be standing up for who I believe is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And they then go ahead in the third round and drafted Drew Aller out of Penn State. Now, you know that's a nice piece of hometown cooking for a kid, although he's from Ohio, to go and play in Penn State and make his way to Pittsburgh. He's got the, you know, he's got a swagger to him when he's healthy, and he's got an offense that suits him.
He's a big kid, man.
And a kid who once upon a time played his college football in Ohio, made his way to Pennsylvania. And that's the guy who everybody's trying to find for the Steelers. I don't know. The draft, one never knows. Carson Beck is chosen by the Arizona Cardinals. He might actually start this year. He might be the first starting quarterback of anybody in this draft class this year. And he was the one coming into the draft who's thoroughly overlooked despite having time in Georgia and going to the national championship game in Miami. And he's the one who's also tall enough to play the position too, experienced enough. He might be the first one up with Mendoza sitting behind Kirk Cousins and Ty Simpson sitting behind Matthew Stafford for a long time. And then nobody gets drafted at quarterback in the second round, and there goes Beck, and then there goes Aller. And who knows what's going to happen? This is why they got Mike McCarthy, to groom a quarterback along. And this is what he had to say about drafting Drew Aller in the third round.
It's about the quarterback room. I've always approached it that way. I learned it that way as a young coach. It's about training the whole room together. And we had an opportunity to get on the field last week for 2 days. You know, with Mason and Will, and now we had Drew. So this is the goal. I mean, this is the outlook. I mean, we talked about it in my interview, just from a philosophical standpoint. So we want to have a healthy, quarterback room that we're always developing. We're always developing. It's the most important position maybe in sports. I mean, it's very difficult. There's a lot that goes into that. We have a way of how the quarterback will be trained here. I've done it a long time, and it's great to have two really young guys that I'm extremely excited about.
That's the setup. I think it's going to be Rodgers with two kids. They're, Ian Rappaport came on our broadcast, popped in after Drew Aller got picked and said that the Steelers are open to trading Mason Rudolph. And that's why he got Mike McCarthy. And in case anybody thinks that's coach speak, that's the Green Bay way of doing things. Ron Wolf used to draft a quarterback every year. That's the idea. Keep it going. Keep that quarterback room going. You never know when you're going to need one. You never know when you can trade one. Everybody needs one. We all know that. Then in the third round, later on Friday night, Dalen Everett, the defensive back out of Georgia, he's now added to the mix there in Pittsburgh. And then, oh, baby, the mother load. I turned to my Commonwealth friend from Altoona, who spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh, PA. You tell me how Jennings Dunker is going to fit in that town.
I think I text you immediately, and I said, this dude is
Rockstar.
Going to be so beloved.
Rockstar.
And not just Pittsburgh, but probably the whole state. He's their kind of guy, man. So it's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have sandwiches named after him at various restaurants, drinks named after him. He's going to become a star within that city.
Oh, yeah.
Question.
Oh, yeah. I concur.
Yeah.
Bring in the mullet, the party in the back, the business. Jennings Dunker is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then his teammate in the fourth round, Caden Wiegen, who's going to be on special teams as well. These two guys already have the color scheme down pat. As a matter of fact,
right?
That's a connection that the head coach there for, you know, obviously the Iowa colors have been that way for a long time. But this is exactly what the Iowa Hawkeyes wanted to build, is something in the image, in a way, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kirk Ferentz has actually talked about it. Riley Nowakowski, a tight end out of Indiana, who just hits people. I really liked the Steelers draft. And then I understand day three is my favorite day to host on NFL Network, because there's a lot of chatter that can go down. We do stump the truck. There's expanded conversations. We'll talk about it with Daniel Jeremiah at one point. I don't know if you guys caught this. I just throw out there the subject matter of how many games Fernando Mendoza is going to start this year. Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah, two of the sweetest human beings who right, never show fangs right. ever, started going at it. Like sometimes, you know, Halo and Dylan, my two beautiful rescue goldens at home, will just out of the blue just jump up and start yelling at each other. And then we have to separate them. That's the way I felt over this subject matter. Right? The Run Rich Run campaign always culminates. It's a fun day where you can just expand the studio space, if you will, during the draft. And then there's moments like the moment when after the pick used by the Cincinnati Bengals, the Pat Tillman pick was used on a Navy man.
Yeah.
Then a few picks later, the Steelers choose another player out of Navy, Eli Heidenreich.
That was an awesome moment.
And he was in the green room in his dress uniform. And he's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and the place went absolutely crazy. Absolutely nuts. So the Steelers, soup to nuts, have had a great week and weekend. I like it. And I give kudos to them, even though I woke up today humming Renegade the minute I woke up, because I can't get it out of my head.
You got a couple more days with that in the brain.
I think so. That said, they may not have had the best draft out of the AFC North. Listen, I liked the Bengals going ahead and using their 10th overall pick on, you know, Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence being drafted 10th overall. If I'm going to give the Rams credit for, hey.
Absolutely.
Everybody who thinks they blew it in the first round, they used the 29th overall pick on Trent McDuffie and signed him. And if Stafford comes out and has short fields due to, you know, McDuffie, or is already up 7-0 because of McDuffie, then point to that and say, oh, the Rams didn't get him any help, huh? If I'm going to say that, then the Bengals getting Dexter Lawrence, 10th overall, pretty darn good. I love the Ravens. They got 8 picks on day 3. We'll see what they'll make of that. I know they lost some significant players, but I loved the first-round choice. We didn't talk about it on Friday. I loved the first-round choice of Venga Ioane. And, you know, they got 2 wide receivers, Jacoby Lane from USC and Elijah Surratt from Indiana, that should do some damage. But the Cleveland Browns, you got to give it up. The Cleveland Browns, you have to give it up. Again, yeah, what they did in this draft, to go from 6 down to 9, and they still took the guy they would have taken at 6 in Spencer Fano, and then they cash in their first round selection they got from Jacksonville for Casey Concepcion. And then the second round, they get Denzel Boston. They got 2 wide receivers who are terrific. And then they go and take Emmanuel McNeil Warren in the second round with another second round choice. And he was sitting on Daniel Jeremiah's best available draft board for about an hour. They snagged him at 58. He was up there at 15 on DJ's draft board. And they get Austin Barber, a tackle, out of Florida in the third round. And the choice that they used to get Austin Barber third round was one that they got from Cleveland to let them trade up at 6 to take Mansoor Delane, and they move down to 9 and still get the guy they want anyway. And they've got 2 fourth-round picks in next year's draft in their back pocket. But the pick of Casey Concepcion is of note for various reasons. Not only is the kid really good, not only is he one to root for, but it closes the books on last year's trade with the Jaguars. And I love this sort of stuff because, again, with the Jets asking their fans to believe in yet another rebuild, you still have to turn those picks into humans. And last year, the Browns fans are like, what did you trade out of the second spot? You could have had Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what Travis turns into now that he comes back from his knee injury. And the Jaguars, with some picks they got in last year's draft trade to move down from Cleveland to move up, Cleveland flipped Jacksonville some picks even in this trade. They did get what appears to be their new starting running back because Travis Etienne is now in New Orleans. Bashal Tuten, and the Jaguars have a safety out of it as well. But the Browns moved down to get Mason Graham and Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, two running backs that have created so much buzz and excellence in their rookie seasons. We didn't even in mock drafts put Jeremiah Love in Cleveland, and he wound up third overall. And then they got a first-round pick in this year's draft and got Casey Concepcion. So they turned in the option to choose Travis Hunter. And we had fun with the Miz many times. With somebody from the world of the Bengals snapped a photograph of him while he's sitting on a plane, right?
Last year.
It's just like the look on his face of, oh, womp, the Browns could have had Travis Hunter. Yep. Oh, now they got a defensive tackle in Mason Graham. Oh, too bad, Miz. Well, look at that return. Look at that return. And then you look at what they did this year. You got to give it up to Andrew Berry. I'm still going to always scratch my head over Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Really?
Yeah.
And we'll see who's the starter this year. I still think it's Deshaun Watson. But you got to give it up to Cleveland, man. And Andrew Berry, he was moving around the draft board, moving around. And with the new head coach, okay, you got the offensive mindset. Well, we got two new pieces on the offensive line, and we've got two new pieces at the receiver position. We got the running back. And by the way, I didn't even mention Harold Fannin or last year's defensive rookie of the year that they drafted.
Right.
Schlesinger.
Right.
Yeah. Here from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. And the Browns also drafted Justin Jefferson. Wait a minute. I'm being told it's a linebacker from Alabama.
Yeah, it's a different.
Okay.
So. Still my cousin, though.
Yeah. Taylen Green, though. They also drafted the quarterback out of Arkansas. And Berry's like, yeah, we're not converting him. He's going to be a quarterback. See what happens. Crazier things have happened. So I dig it.
Love it.
Let's take a break. Daniel Jeremiah is next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What does he think of what we just saw go down? That's next. We're back. 844-204-RICH. Your phone call is still to come. Tell us. React to us.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates. Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, This could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Back on the ESPN radio broadcast with Disney Plus and the ESPN app, Daniel Jeremiah here, after a fun time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now that you're removed from it 24 hours, what's the major story from this draft, your big takeaway, Daniel, top down?
Well, you know, look, I think this draft was a lot about teams helping their quarterbacks. You know, a lot of times it's teams shopping for quarterbacks. This year, it felt to me like this was teams that have their young quarterback or they're waiting for their next quarterback. So they're building up what they have around their existing guy, or they're trying to set the table for the guy that could be coming next year. So even though the quarterbacks weren't the central theme themselves, I thought I thought everything kind of moved around those quarterbacks with the decisions that were made.
And then, you know, the first two to do that, I would say, because one took a quarterback, and then the Jets took David Bailey. Mm-hmm. I guess the Cardinals are helping up whoever the future quarterback's going to be of the team. And then Carnell Tate was the first major one and the first big surprise to be taken by the Titans, DJ. That's the
first
one.
Yeah, 3 and 4, I think, you know, was really kind of where it felt like the draft was going to start. We had been talking about David Bailey going to the Jets for a little while. Now, it wasn't, you know, 100% locked down, but it felt, you know, pretty much that was the direction that things were going. So it was really intriguing to see what was going to happen at 3. And they could have taken an offensive lineman there. They could have traded back, or they could have taken Jeremiah Love and gave him the most guaranteed money of any running back. And that was where the conversation was, and not just positional value, but the, you know, the money situation there. And they decided he's the best football player. We're going to keep it simple, and we've got a new head coach. We're going to give him a very dynamic weapon. And then, of course, we can get to it in a little bit, but then they end up picking up a quarterback who I think has got a chance to start games for him this year.
Yeah,
well, and Carson Beck.
Yeah, so that's pretty big. And then because you're taking a look at what the Titans did, too, just jumping in here, mm-hmm. that this decade, the Bengals got Ja'Marr Chase for Burrow the year after drafting him. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars got Travis Etienne for Trevor Lawrence in the same draft. Tet McMillan 2 years after drafting mm-hmm. Bryce Young, he arrives in Carolina. Roma Dunze and Colston Loveland for Caleb Williams in the first 2 years there. And now this one with Carnell Tate for Cam Ward. So that's what you do. You draft a young kid and yeah. then start building around.
Yeah, because it's twofold, right? You want to be able to help your young quarterback. For all these guys, you want to be able to help them so that you can win. But what it also does is it provides a window of evaluation. You know, like you want to be able to leave. The worst thing that can happen, and we've seen it with some of these quarterbacks have bounced around to different places, is that, hey, the quarterback had the talent. We just didn't give him a chance with the infrastructure. So we decided to move on from the quarterback, but we didn't even really know what we had because we didn't have, you know, have everything set in place for him. And that's, you know, one of my pre-draft conversations, I had talked to a bunch of coaches and a bunch of GMs through the process. And one of the ones that just stood out to me was talking to Kellen Moore. And he talked about how they took Tyler Shuck last year, but they took him after they took Banks, the tackle. So they built up that offensive line with two really good young tackles. And then they felt like that gave them a chance when they took the quarterback for the quarterback to have a chance to be successful. And then they come back this year and then they go get Jordan Tyson. So they're going to continue to do that. But you want in those first 3 years of your quarterback, of your rookie quarterback, Rich, not only do you want to win, but you also want to just have a fair evaluation. So when it comes time to make that decision on fifth year options and such, you feel like you know what you got.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. You were not on Friday's program. You were on Thursday's program last week. So Ty Simpson's now a Ram. You want to chime in on that? Because that's still on everyone's minds.
Daniel. Yeah, I mean, that's probably if I'm just, you know, talking to friends back home and they're like, hey, okay, what, you know, what do you think? Like, that's the question that comes up. Like, what do you think on that? I understand it from all sides, especially the longer you get away from it. My biggest takeaway on this whole thing is this is going to be a fascinating case study on sample size. You know, because that even the people that argued for Ty Simpson to be a, you know, top half of the first round pick versus those of us who thought he was a second round pick, we said the same things about him as a player. We agree on the strengths that he showed. We agreed that, you know, from the footwork, the release, the ability to work through progressions, we agree on all that stuff. The difference is, like, there's a large group of people, not just, you know, me and other people doing this on television, but a lot of teams that are fascinated to see this is going to buck the trend. If this is successful of this limited sample size, the 15 starts, we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen somebody be successful. And then now you add on top of that, he's going to have to wait at least a year, maybe two or even longer behind Matthew Stafford. So you've got somebody over that long period of time who's only played 15 games. You know, we're talking about over 6 or 7 year period. So that's what's going to be fascinating to me. It's you know, and Klatt and I were talking about it. I think we talked about it a little bit on the air too, Rich, which was, it's like, can you be, you know, can you be a great golfer if you just go to the range for 6 years and then hop out on the course? I mean, you're getting a lot of practice. You're getting a lot of work in, but you're not really playing. You know, was it Kenny Powers not trying to be the best at exercise here? You know, like, it's just that's going to be fascinating to see how that whole thing comes together.
Great reference. Appreciate a bigger surprise of the draft. Ty Simpson going 13th overall or Charles Davis, highly caffeinated, showing his fangs towards the end of the draft coverage for us over how many starts Fernando Mendoza is going to get this year. DJ.
The best part about that is, like, that thing got some traction like that. Was talked about, and I did laugh too, because people were like, oh, this is just, you know, this fabricated, and they planned this whole thing out. Really? Because that whole conversation came out of left field. I don't think anybody knew that it was going to go that way.
But just to be straight up, you know, it was, you know, Mark Teitelman, our producer, getting in my ear in the commercial break saying, let's hit Fernando Mendoza a little bit here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I decided to go in the direction of, let's now spin it forward. And how many starts is he going to get? Chris, I even brought up your what's more likely Friday subject matter and asked these guys what's going to be the higher number, the larger number, the number of starts for Mendoza or the draft position for the Raiders next year. Mm-hmm. I think you said 7 starts for Mendoza, 9th for the Raiders in the draft position. And then it was on, man. Charles was like, they're starting.
Fired up.
He says it's going to be 12th. He's going to have 12. The Raiders are going to give 12 starts to Mendoza, you know?
Yeah, which, by the way, it sound when you put those two numbers together, that's what everybody was commenting. I saw the comments like, really, they're not their opinions are not that wildly different here.
Right.
But to me, it sounds, I always just think about, we're in a 17 game season. And to me, it sounds different when you say, instead of he's going to start 7 games, because I still think we have that 16 game mindset. To me, I'm like, look, if Kirk Cousins starts 10 games, like, that's a long time for him to sit and wait. And, you know, the way that most teams do this nowadays. But everything I've ever heard from Tom Brady is that he's just been adamant that that's the right way to do it. And he wants to get him a chance to sit and learn and watch a professional, not only play, but watch a professional prepare. And I when you have a first year head coach, there's no rush. Like, a lot of times you get these different timelines with GMs and coaches or the front office and the coaches, and one wants to take their time and the other one's like, no, we got to get this guy out there, not only win, but provide some hope so that we can all get, you know, stay employed. This is a very secure group from upstairs to downstairs, and I just don't think they're going to be in a rush. And then I know Ian added the financial component. Like, Cousins is not coming there for free.
Right.
They're paying him some good money. So that, to me, is the way I feel like it can go. But, I mean, look, Charles has been covering the league and been around the league forever. So that's what he's seen in his observation. His experience tells him that it's going to be, you know, much sooner than that. But I think it's a fun discussion. It's something we would be talking about if we were just hanging out, you know, after the draft was over, you know, sitting around a table. But yeah, it got feisty and fun.
It was fun. Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. After Green Bay last year, after the draft in Green Bay, you were on the spot saying Patriots draft. I like it.
Yeah.
And that was a significant draft that can really help them. And obviously nobody knew they were going to go from 4-13 to 13-4 and that May would blossom. who's that draft this year? Do you have one that just jumped out at you and you're like, I really like it and I think it's going to be very helpful?
Yeah, I like the Browns. You know, I think the Browns can get solid quarterback play, you know, wherever that comes from. And I'm sure, Rich, it's going to feed your program for the summer of who that quarterback's going to be for them. But if they can just get solid, decent quarterback play, they've built up this roster pretty well. And I, you know, I mentioned it and we talked about it on the air that I thought that they had a fantastic draft, and I'll get into the names in a moment. And everybody said, yeah, well, every year you guys say this, the Browns win the draft every year. And I'm like, well, look at what those guys did last year. Look at how they played on the field. They did. They were excellent with that rookie class last year, including the defensive rookie of the year. But to make the smart move to trade back, because you knew you didn't have to take Fano, the tackle, they traded back, still got him. Then you're debating between whether they take Concepcion and Boston. They end up getting both of them into the mix. And McNeil Warren comes in there. I mean, I love what they did.
Yeah, they got both of them. They also got Austin Barber, another tackle for their line. Yeah. And the reason why they got him is because they just moved down 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. Let the Chiefs hop up, and they got Fano 9th overall anyway, which, you know, they probably would have done.
They would have taken him
overall.
At 6.
Right.
Yeah.
So they got the guy they wanted anyway and wound up getting another tackle for their line from Florida in the 3rd round. You know, they turned the first round pick they got for moving down from 2 to 5 last year, taking Mason Graham. They turned that into Concepcion this year. And that was after Sampson last year, and after Fannin last year, and after Quinshon Judkins last year. You're right. You know,
Schlesinger. I mean, they crushed
him.
It.
Yeah, they did. But it's. I think it's going to be Watson. Don't you think? At the end of the day,
that's what I've been saying. What I believe. You know, it's just look. It's the investment, right? I mean, comparing what you've invested into Shador, even though he's younger, comparing what you've invested obviously into Watson, like it's not close. He's going to get the first chance at this thing. Now, if his failure is performance based or he just can't stay healthy, then you pivot. But I would be surprised if he doesn't get the first crack at it.
What about the Cowboys? You knew they were going to hit the defense like crazy, DJ, and they did with Caleb Downs, Malachi Lawrence with their first rounders, because they also moved down, got more draft choices. They, you know, they also acquired D Winners in the middle of the draft from San Francisco. My guy, Jayshon Barham from Michigan. I love him. They also got a couple more defenders later on in the 4th round. What do you think? Did they nail it? Did they fit with everything else that they've done too?
Yeah.
Have they tightened the bolts enough on that side of the ball? Do you think?
Well, they're got no choice but to be better. They're going to be absolutely better this year. And I love Christian Parker, who they brought over as a DC from Philly, who did a great job with their young secondary. So you've got someone, you start with the coordinator move before we even get to the draft. Downs is a great kind of a foundational piece, not only for what he is as a player, but just, you know, the leadership, the intelligence, the communication. He's going to be a kind of a nerve center for that group. So I love that as your statement pick. Malachi Lawrence is, I had him taking him because I, you know, got a vibe that was going to happen, but it was a little earlier than I had him rated. He's got all kinds of ability, but he's a little bit raw. You're going to have to be patient there with him. But, look, they had conviction. They had his defensive line coach from UCF on their staff with Dallas. So they feel like they know him. So they took their swing there. I love the Barham pick. He plays fast and physical, you know, ultra, ultra aggressive. So it's interesting to see when you get a new coordinator. And they just bought into his vision because they got a bunch of guys that fit the way that Eagles defense was playing or has been playing. And they're kind of built their roster that way. So it shows to me that there's a lot of belief and conviction in Christian Parker and his vision.
Day 2, day 3 pick you want to talk about, Daniel?
Well, I mean, I'll give you a late one because he was on the best available list forever. I think he broke my record with having Shador on the best available list for as long as he was the year before. But Deion Burks from Oklahoma was my 70th player, and he almost went undrafted. He almost fell completely out of the draft, and he went to Indianapolis. And when I looked down, I'm going through all their draft, and I'm like, they haven't drafted a receiver. So you look at Pittman's left. He's gone, and this is the one receiver they drafted who I thought should have been a 3rd-round pick, and they got him in the 7th round. So that's one just I'll be paying attention to. I think that kid is way better than that, so we'll see how he does.
Right, and then you also have Jermaid McCoy went first off the board on Saturday. Raiders snuck up a pick to go get him. And I guess who knows, right? Because if he's healthy, you just crush. He would have been a top 10 pick if he was healthy, right?
Yeah, you learn something every year at the draft, Rich. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't get an A in biology. I probably was more of a B minus C plus, but I'd never heard of a bone plug before. That was this was the first I've learned of having an issue with a bone plug. I haven't had time. I need to sit down and do some research on that. I still don't know exactly what that means, but hopefully he's okay because he's a great player.
I'll finish up with this one, Daniel. The usual Rich Eisen show construct I give to guests when I ask them an absurd, please predict this question. if you're right, we'll play it over and over again. If you're wrong, this never happened.
Okay.
Who's the first overall pick in next year's draft?
Holy moly. You know what? I lean conservative, so I'm going to lean conservative, and I'll go with the Oregon quarterback over Arch. I'll go Dante Moore, just because I've seen him play at a higher level for a longer period of time. Arch has all the ability in the world, and I'm looking forward to really studying him. I've done more work because I thought Dante was coming out. I haven't done that full workup on Arch, so I'm covering myself there.
All right, Brockman, go for it. You're in my
DJ, we got odds.
Okay.
Arch Manning plus 160. Dante Moore, Jeremiah Smith, CJ Carr plus 600. So Arch is a big favorite.
Jeremiah Smith, what do they think? This is the Jets and Keyshawn Johnson?
He might be the best player.
How about this?
Julian
we will
Sayin,
never see a wide receiver go one again, Sanders. Ever. That's never going to happen. Sorry, TJ. Your Arch card is less valuable if he's right. Because he's got his Arch Manning card. Think it's going to get him a boat. It's going to get him a boat next to Del Tufo's in the marina.
Not happening.
You know,
multiple cards, TJ.
You know, but all right. So that's your. You want to take a crack on who's taking him? Go for it. Who's taking Dante Moore first overall when you and I are sitting in the Washington Mall for crying out loud for the draft next year?
That's going to be wild.
Oh, man. This will get no pressure. Off and get me in big trouble here. With the first overall pick in the 2027 NFL draft, we're going to bring out Dan Marino to announce Dante Moore, quarterback. Oregon to the Miami Dolphins.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah, way to call your shot. Again, if you're right, we are playing this over and over and over again. If it's wrong, who's Daniel Jeremiah? I don't even know.
I'm sure. I'm sure it'll get taken off of social media. I'm sure it's not going to live anywhere.
I didn't put you in any position. Hey, at least I'm not being Charles Davis and jumping down your throat out of nowhere. That was unbelievable. That was great.
Fun.
Yeah, I know. Great to see you, Daniel. You're the best. Yeah. Thanks again. Truly, you are so great at what you do, and you make everything easier for me and everyone else around you. You know, and Ben Fennell, who's your guy, in your ear, Jack Andrade's in my ear. The crew is amazing. You're awesome. Thanks again.
Well, you're the best in the business. We get to hang out with our buddies for 3 days every year. Enjoy the heck out of it.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah, after Charles Davis went renegade, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How about that? So Dante Moore, first overall, means Malik Willis does not perform well at all.
Right, right.
I put him on the spot, and he just took a flyer.
Maybe they trade up.
Okay. I mean, the Dolphins did a very, straightforward, we're just going to take guys that they had a through line of guys that have fit their profile, and Dolphin fans are just going to be like, okay, we trust you.
What else can they do?
Because they didn't replace Jalen Waddle with a first round receiver.
Nope.
But you know what? You know who doesn't draft first round receivers? Green Bay Packer people. So in John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley, you trust. They didn't make any splashes, zero splashes. All they did was just draft a bunch of kids that I'm sure that they have identified that has their heartbeat. But Dante Moore, first overall, the Miami Dolphins. There you go.
I wrote it down.
That'll be something. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH number to dial on the program. Well, your phone calls. And Jerry Jones talking about trading with the Eagles. It's a good soundbite coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast Funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay. Here on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio outfit along with Disney Plus, let's go to Kenyi in Washington, D.C. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, first in, first up. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. What's up, Kenyi?
Hey, Shaolin Rich. How you doing, player?
We're good. How are you?
I'm all right. Go Birds. Hey, I saw your draft coverage, man. I noticed y'all didn't mention the Eagles draft class and how well we did. I saw that TJ was all giddy because the Cowgirls made a few moves. But they also helped us get Mekhi Lemon. We got Bell and Morris to rebuild that offensive line. Rich, I see your Giants did pretty good. The NFC East is going to be interesting this season.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Brock.
Hey, what up?
Pats want A.J. Brown. Y'all going to have to come out of y'all pockets big time.
That's what's next. That's what's next.
Is going to have to say what?
That is in fact what is next, sir. Is that compensation? Because
hey, luck of the draw, I guess. But Sean Mannion is going to have that offense looking like 2024 again for y'all haters. Can you dig it?
No, I'm Kenyi not in Washington, D.C. Everybody, thank you for the call.
Can you dig it?
Referring to Mekhi Lemon being acquired in a trade with the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones was asked exactly about that. Hit it.
If you eliminate all the teams that I want to beat their ass, you wouldn't have anybody to trade with, so to speak. And so, Philadelphia has a certain edge to it. But you could always rationalize and say, well, I'd like to have some success with that trade. And at the end of the day, I got a bigger grin out of it than they did.
You like it?
I mean,
normally you're rolling your eyes when Jerry's saying something, but that's soundbite of the year right there.
Here's the thing.
That's amazing.
Did you watch Steven this whole time?
Yeah, just
Steven. He's just like, oh, Dad's on one again.
Yeah, we got it. All right, let's
he's just like not even listening.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, God, like, here we go.
I mean, what a great... he's probably heard this. That's probably nothing. That's a walk in the park from what Steven's heard, I'm sure.
I get it.
Think about what he's heard when the camera isn't on.
We got another drop, I think.
Too. Hey, and also, the Cowboys moved up to grab Caleb Downs after the Giants did not take him. They took Francis Mangwanoa for their offensive line. We had Brian Schottenheimer on our third day of coverage on NFL Network.
Oh, yeah.
And I had one last question. I got the last question in, and I'm like, not to tell you how to do your job, coach, but are you going to the week you play the Giants remind Caleb Downs that they left him on the board? Could have had him.
Look at you starting stuff
same, well, no, just on the same team that his dad used to play for. And will you use that to your advantage against the Giants? And he goes, oh, Caleb's already brought it up to me. And as a matter of fact, also mentioned the Commanders didn't take him too.
It.
And the Commanders took his teammate from Ohio State's Sonny Styles.
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Oh, yeah. It's on.
Oh, baby.
And, you know, we'll find out if Malachi Lawrence is sacking Jalen Hurts, then, hey, you're the one who let us trade down and took him, and we used a draft choice to our advantage later on in our draft. But Mekhi Lemon's drafting immediately was, in fact, pointed out. We talked about this on Friday show. That's it for A.J. Brown. I mean, if you're going to get Mekhi Lemon and Dontavian Wicks and Hollywood Brown, then you are clearly clearing the decks to move on from A.J. Brown and have three guys new to the system. which puts it all on Jalen Hurts again. New system, new guy, new everything again for him. Don't forget, the only offensive coordinator he's had in consecutive years his entire life since college is Shane Steichen, when he had him 2 years in a row for the Eagles before he left, and he's had one new every year since then. So there's that. And, will New England give up a one for A.J. Brown? Because that's what Howie's going to be holding out for.
He ain't getting it.
Okay. Good to know. That's what's going to be. That's the next thing, is what will the draft compensation be? Unless it's, to be honest with you, already agreed to, which is entirely possible as well. And I know what's going on with New England as well is everybody's focused on Vrabel and, him not being part of the draft on Saturday and what's happening in him and his personal life and all of that stuff. But lost amongst that was the Patriots draft and the fact that they moved up three spots to take Caleb Lomu out of Utah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks are wondering, what does that mean for their offensive line and their first overall pick last year, Chris?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought Will Campbell, got exposed during the playoff run and the Super Bowl, obviously.
He 100% did, and we just don't know if it's his short arms or if it's his injury.
He was playing very well up until the knee injury midway through the year.
We just don't know, but, will he go to right tackle as well? Because, the right tackle was a turnstile, too, but unless everyone was a turnstile against the Seahawks anyway.
Could be the case.
But maybe they put Lomu in one of those spots.
Yeah, he could
put put him in left tackle and they move Will Campbell inside. Which it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. I know you want your tackle to be, if this kid can be the tackle you want for Drake May, and then you get him to be as upright as possible for AJ Brown to get open. It doesn't matter. And then you start running next to the left guard of Will Campbell and the left tackle of this kid, as a for instance.
Yeah, if Ramondre and Trevion are doing their thing, and you have a top 10 line, who cares where everybody
is? It doesn't matter, man, it's a guard. He said, that's terrible. You could get a guard anytime. Maybe not as good as Will Campbell inside. In the same way, the Ravens got Venga Ioane. They're going to run the football behind that kid, and he could be there for 10, 15 years. Steve Hutchinson was the one next to Walter Jones. Walter Jones is a Hall of Famer in his own right, but if you remember, Sean Alexander was an MVP 1 year, and the Seahawks made it to the Super Bowl because that's all they did was run behind those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everyone knew it was coming. So that's like what's up with the Patriots offensive line and A.J. Brown and the Eagles and the Cowboys trading with the Eagles. Just fun intrigue from the draft. Fun intrigue.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.